Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
S&P Global celebrates first year of WTI Midland, joining Dated Brent. A year ago, Platts, part of S&P Global Commodity Insights, incorporated West Texas Intermediate Midland into its Dated Brent basket of deliverable grades of crude oil. Quote, "We're happy with the way it's going, especially for the industry," end quote, said Joel Hanley, Global Director, Crude and Fuel Oil Markets with S&P Global, as he assessed the first year of the inclusion. He estimated there were 140 public trades of WTI Midland at 700,000 barrels a clip. WTI Midland was the first non-North Sea oil grade added into the Brent complex, and Hanley described it as the most competitive of the six grades most of the time. Of 220 oil cargoes currently being publicly traded, he said 140 are WTI Midland, quote, "so it's doing the heavy lifting, more than the other five grades," end quote. By adding WTI Midland, the pool of oil more than doubled, said Richard Swan, Global Director, Clean Refined Products, Markets Reporting at S&P Global. Quote, "this was an addition on a different scale. It was a very big addition of liquids," end quote, Swan said. "It was a massive change, but went smoothly," he added. Both Swan and Hanley agree the addition of WTI Midland has brought transparency to and confidence in the trading process. They also cited the diversity of companies involved in buying WTI Midland cargoes. The update to the Brent complex has seen new and returning market participants in the Platts market on close, broadening the pool of companies transparently trading in the market and participating in the price assessment process and proving values. The North Sea physical MOC has seen positions from companies such as Japan's Mitsui, Azerbaijan's SOCAR, Saudi Arabia's Aramco, and U.S. companies Phillips 66 and Occidental, as well as India's Reliance. Said Hanley, quote, "we have proven there is a grade outside the North Sea that can come in and fill gaps should there be a supply disruption. That's a really important change. We can provide volumes of good old USA crude," end quote. Platts has reviewed and approved 12 U.S. Gulf Coast terminals from which WTI Midland can be loaded for inclusion in the Brent market price assessment process. The 12 are located in Corpus Christi and Houston. WellWorks sells to Liberty Lift Solutions. Midland-based WellWorks is being acquired by Liberty Lift Solutions of Houston. Formed in 2019 by Matt Raglan, WellWorks Energy's entire offering of downhole tools and automation solutions will be added to the Liberty Lift portfolio. Liberty Lift Solutions is a full-service artificial lift company known worldwide for premium products, service, and customer care. Initially formed in 2012 as a beam pumping unit manufacturing company, Liberty Lift has expanded its product line into most stages of the artificial lift life cycle, with locations in many major producing regions in the United States. Quote, "our mission is to provide impactful production solutions to our customers, and adding WellWorks Energy's expertise and products to our arsenal is a strategic step toward that goal," end quote, said Bobby Evans, Liberty Lift Solutions CEO. Quote, "WellWorks has been an integral partner of Liberty Lift for many years now, and we have both seen tremendous success when working in unison. WellWorks brings a wealth of knowledge in the reciprocating rod lift space that meshes well with Liberty's product lines. WellWorks has built a reputation of excellent service, cutting-edge technology, and meaningful solutions for well optimization," end quote. Matt Raglan, WellWorks Energy President, said in a statement, quote, "from the moment we entered into a distribution agreement with Liberty Lift, it was clear their values mirrored ours in integrity and the desire to offer our customers a full solution for the total life of their wells. Joining their ranks was a no-brainer, and we're delighted to be part of the Liberty Lift team," end quote. Liberty Lift plans to utilize WellWorks Energy to further augment their industry presence, particularly in the Permian Basin. The Liberty Lift product lines now include beam pumping units, XL long stroke units, gas lift, hydraulic jet pumps, plunger lift, sucker rods, downhole rod pumps, PC pumps, downhole gas and solids mitigation and automation. In addition to its Houston headquarters, Liberty Lift maintains offices in 26 locations across the United States, Canada, Bahrain, and China.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. Casting call for Landman in Midland, Odessa, by BK Richter, staff writer. Several opportunities to be a part of Taylor Sheridan's newest television series, Landman, are slated to happen this week in both Midland and Odessa. The first opportunity is in Midland and asks for two photo doubles for the Paramount television series. The description for the first photo double is listed as male, white, and around 6 feet tall, 135 pounds, slender with brown shoulder-length hair and a mustache. The second photo double is required to be a Hispanic male and with a 5'9" slender build with short brown hair, a mustache, and a goatee. The day of the Midland shoot is listed as Wednesday. The daily rate for pay is set at $200 for a 12-hour shoot. To apply, email baextrasubmissions@gmail.com with the subject line photo double, along with the full name, contact number, confirmed availability for Wednesday, city of residence, height, weight, and clothing sizes, such as jacket, shirt, dress pants, and shoes. Applicants are also asked to provide two recent color photos, including one headshot and one full-length photo. The second casting opportunity is searching for 500 people to be extras in an all-day film shoot beginning in the afternoon on Thursday at Ratliff Stadium. Those who want to participate in the football scene can submit an email to baextrasubmissions@gmail.com with the subject line of football game. Extras for the football scene are asked to provide the following information: contact number, confirm availability for shoot day, the city of residence, two recent in-color photos, one headshot, and one full-length photo. IMDb describes the television program as a modern-day tale of fortune seeking in the world of West Texas oil rigs. Ashton Aguilar, a Midlander with 8 years of experience working in oil fields, shared his story about working on the Sheridan's television series in an interview in March with the Reporter Telegram. Aguilar said he was impressed by the intricacies of set design for major production, but also pointed out the similarities between the television production and the real-life experience, which he said was mainly the early morning call time. For those who may miss the Wednesday or Thursday casting call, there are other opportunities on the horizon for the Texan television series. Rock Allen Casting is also searching for Latinas between the age of 30 and 45 in the Fort Worth area. According to the listing, previous acting experience is preferred, but not mandatory for the non-speaking roles as a crime scene investigator. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. Casting call for Landman in Midland, Odessa, by BK Richter, staff writer. Several opportunities to be a part of Taylor Sheridan's newest television series, Landman, are slated to happen this week in both Midland and Odessa. The first opportunity is in Midland and asks for two photo doubles for the Paramount television series. The description for the first photo double is listed as male, white, and around 6 feet tall, 135 pounds, slender with brown shoulder-length hair and a mustache. The second photo double is required to be a Hispanic male and with a 5'9" slender build with short brown hair, a mustache, and a goatee. The day of the Midland shoot is listed as Wednesday. The daily rate for pay is set at $200 for a 12-hour shoot. To apply, email baextrasubmissions@gmail.com with the subject line photo double, along with the full name, contact number, confirmed availability for Wednesday, city of residence, height, weight, and clothing sizes, such as jacket, shirt, dress pants, and shoes. Applicants are also asked to provide two recent color photos, including one headshot and one full-length photo. The second casting opportunity is searching for 500 people to be extras in an all-day film shoot beginning in the afternoon on Thursday at Ratliff Stadium. Those who want to participate in the football scene can submit an email to baextrasubmissions@gmail.com with the subject line of football game. Extras for the football scene are asked to provide the following information: contact number, confirm availability for shoot day, the city of residence, two recent in-color photos, one headshot, and one full-length photo. IMDb describes the television program as a modern-day tale of fortune seeking in the world of West Texas oil rigs. Ashton Aguilar, a Midlander with 8 years of experience working in oil fields, shared his story about working on the Sheridan's television series in an interview in March with the Reporter Telegram. Aguilar said he was impressed by the intricacies of set design for major production, but also pointed out the similarities between the television production and the real-life experience, which he said was mainly the early morning call time. For those who may miss the Wednesday or Thursday casting call, there are other opportunities on the horizon for the Texan television series. Brock Allen Casting is also searching for Latinas between the age of 30 and 45 in the Fort Worth area. According to the listing, previous acting experience is preferred, but not mandatory for the non-speaking roles as a crime scene investigator. Cohen implicates Trump in testimony at trial, by Michael R. Sisak, Associated Press. New York. Donald Trump was intimately involved with all aspects of a scheme to stifle stories about sex that threatened to torpedo his 2016 campaign, his former lawyer said Monday in a matter-of-fact testimony that went to the heart of the former president's hush money trial. Everything required Mr. Trump's sign-off, said Michael Cohen, Trump's fixer-turned-foe, and the prosecution's star witness in a case now entering its final pivotal stretch. In hours of highly anticipated testimony, Cohen placed Trump at the center of the hush money plot, saying the then candidate had promised to reimburse the lawyer for the money he fronted and was constantly updated about behind-the-scenes efforts to bury stories feared to be harmful to the campaign. "Stop this from getting out," Cohen, the prosecution's star witness, quoted Trump as telling him in reference to porn actor Stormy Daniels' account of a sexual encounter with Trump a decade earlier. A similar episode occurred when Cohen alerted Trump that a Playboy model was alleging that she and Trump had an extramarital affair. "Make sure it doesn't get released," Cohen said Trump told him. The woman, Karen McDougal, was paid $150,000 in arrangement that was made after Trump received a complete and total update on everything that transpired. "What I was doing was at the direction of the benefit of Mr. Trump," Cohen testified. Cohen is by far the prosecution's most important witness. And though his testimony lacked the electricity that defined Daniels' turn on the stand, he nonetheless linked Trump directly to the payments and helped illuminate some of the drier evidence, such as text messages and phone logs that jurors have seen. The testimony of a witness with such intimate knowledge of Trump's activities could heighten the legal exposure of the presumptive Republican presidential nominee if jurors deem him sufficiently credible. But prosecutors' reliance on a witness with such a checkered past, Cohen pleaded guilty to federal charges related to the payments, also carries sizable risks with a jury, and could be a boon to Trump politically as he fundraises off his legal woes and paints the case as the product of a tainted criminal justice system. The men, once so close that Cohen boasted that he would take a bullet for Trump, had no visible interaction inside the courtroom. The sedate atmosphere was a marked contrast from their last courtroom face-off, when Trump walked out of the courtroom in October after his lawyer finished questioning Cohen during his civil fraud trial. Trump sat at the defense table with his eyes closed for long stretches of testimony as Cohen recounted his decade-long career as a senior Trump Organization executive, doing work that, by his own admission, sometimes involved lying and bullying others on his boss's behalf. Jurors had previously heard from others about the tabloid industry practice of catch and kill, in which rights to a story are purchased so that it can be squashed. But Cohen's testimony, which continues Tuesday, is crucial to prosecutors because of his direct communication with the then-candidate about embarrassing stories he was scrambling to suppress. Cohen also matters because the reimbursement he received from a $130,000 hush money payment to Daniels which prosecutors say was meant to buy her silence in advance of the election, form the basis of 34 felony counts charging Trump with falsifying business records. Prosecutors say the reimbursements were logged falsely as legal expenses to conceal the payment's true purpose. Under questioning from a prosecutor, Cohen detailed the steps he took to mask the payments when he opened a bank account to pay Daniels, an action he said he told Trump he was taking. He said it was for a new limited liability corporation, but withheld the actual purpose. "I'm not sure they would have opened it," he said, "if it stated to pay off an adult film star for a non-disclosure agreement." Cohen also gave jurors an insider account of his negotiations with David Pecker, the then publisher of the National Enquirer, who was such a close Trump ally that Peck told Cohen his publication maintained a file drawer or a locked drawer where files related to Trump were kept. That effort took on added urgency following the October 2016 disclosure of an Access Hollywood recording in which Trump was heard boasting about grabbing women sexually. The Daniels payment was finalized several weeks after that revelation, but Monday's testimony also centered on a deal earlier that fall with McDougal. Cohen testified that he went to Trump immediately after the National Enquirer alerted him to a story about the alleged McDougal affair. "Make sure it doesn't get released," he said Trump told him. Trump checked in with Pecker about the matter, asking him how things were going with it, Cohen said. Pecker responded, "We have this under control, and we'll take care of this," Cohen testified. Cohen also said he was with Trump as Trump spoke to Pecker on a speakerphone in his Trump Tower office to lay the foundation that the deals were done with the Trump's endorsement. Prosecutors elicited testimony from Cohen designed to show Trump as a hands-on manager, acting on Trump's behalf. Cohen said he sometimes lied and bullied others, including reporters. MISD announces Midland Young Leaders Challenge Participants by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. 25 Midland ISD high school students were selected to attend the Midland Young Leaders Challenge, MISD stated Monday. The Midland Young Leaders Challenge with General Tommy Franks is a summer leadership program that allows 30 high school juniors to experience and interact with prominent Midland leaders, according to its website. During the Young Leaders Challenge, students will learn and practice persuasive communication, character, and leadership skills. Participants are eligible for $7,500 in scholarships that accompany the program, and students can advance to the National Leadership Conference, according to the school district. Midland ISD partners with Midland College and General Tommy Franks Leadership Institute to develop leadership potential, MISD stated. This year's keynote speakers are Stephen M. Robertson, Executive Vice President of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, and Leah Robertson, presiding judge of the 385th Judicial District Court. The Midland Young Leaders Challenge is a highly selective program, and the students chosen should be extremely proud of their accomplishment, MISD Executive Director of Leadership Shannon Torres stated. Their interest in developing leadership skills today will serve them well when they enter the workforce in the future. The following students were selected: Legacy High School, Gianluca Amico, Sawyer Austin, Caitlin Beckham, Mackenzie Buchanan, Kip Colmia, Nicholas Corning, Ashlyn Patton, Kyla Patton, Caden Rodriguez, Ryan Rounds, Kendall Torres, Kia Trent, Midland High School, Eliana Aguila, Addison Collins, Jesslyn Rodriguez, Halston Van Stavern, Hunter Williamson, YWLA, Kayla Barnes, Emma Collins, Ava Dolan, Greenwood High School, Abigail Roberts, Trinity High School, Lucas Kim, Gigi Molina, Midland Classical, Hudson Beard, Cash Kronk, Early College, HS and MC, Lucia Estrada, Oluwase Basse, Isaiah Gomez, Michaela Hunt, Jaden Villafranco. Homicide investigation underway in Midland by B.K. Richter, staff writer. A body was found at approximately 10 a.m. on Sunday, the Midland County Sheriff's Office reported. According to an MCSO press release, patrol deputies were dispatched to the 10,000 block of South FM 1788 in Midland County due to an unknown medical call. Once deputies arrived, they discovered a dead male subject with a possible gunshot wound. The sheriff's office suspects foul play, and this case is being worked as a homicide. Meanwhile, the body has been sent off for an autopsy report. Susie's South 40 Confections closes Wadley's store. By Kesley Salinas, staff writer, Susie's South 40 Confections came to a bittersweet end at their Wadley location on Monday. After 24 sweet years of operating there, the time has come for the Wadley doors to be closed. Susie's South 40 Confections will still be open at their location downtown on 401 South Marionfield Street. The candy shop, factory, and gift shop all started 33 years ago when Susie Hitchcock Hall began creating candies out of her home with some of her friends' pecans. She made around $452 her first season, and she knew she was in business. Over the years, she opened three locations, including her factory downtown and the gift shop on Wadley. Every 3 years, Hitchcock Hall would call the owners of the Wadley building to renew her business lease. This past summer, she struggled to get a hold of the owner. She finally got a hold of the owner in the fall, and she found out about the plans to demolish the building. Hitchcock Hall was given until the end of her previous contract to move out. "We were in shock," Hitchcock Hall said. "We had no idea this was happening." Although plans to demolish the building had started before COVID, Hitchcock Hall and her team hadn't heard wind of the plan until she tried to renew the 3-year lease. "I can't tell you how upset I was," Hitchcock Hall said. "It's very emotional when you love where you live and you live in your store. People like convenience, and the downtown location isn't as convenient," Hitchcock Hall said. Her customers were upset when they found out the Wadley location was closing. "It hurt my feelings because I love my customers and they love the Wadley store. It's their store," Hitchcock Hall said. "We've had customers come in and offer to build me a new building. Everybody is finding plans and buildings for me." Hitchcock Hall's Marionfield location is attached to the candy factory, which brings a new experience to customers where they can see the candy making in action. Hitchcock Hall offers tours of the factory through reservations, and if she has time, she's able to give tours to curious customers without reservations. Hitchcock Hall's South 40 Confections first broke the news about closing the Wadley location on Facebook. Loyal customers have also started spreading the word, and more people have started to go to the factory. Although it isn't as convenient as the Wadley location, they have a big parking lot for all their customers, Hitchcock Hall said. Hitchcock Hall knows her customers are upset about the move, but she will still be making her sweet treats for Midland. Everything that was at the Wadley store will be moved to the factory downtown. "Get out your Crayolas and color me gone," Hitchcock Hall said, "to downtown. All this makes me sad, but thankful there still will be a Susie's I can go for every special holiday," Facebook user Bridget Whitefield Esquibel commented. "My heart skipped a beat there for a minute, thinking this was a farewell letter," Mary Winterman Rowland commented. "Hate to hear this, but so pleased we can still get your marvelous treats for friends and family," Deborah Northut commented. Third person pleads guilty in Quillar probe. By Jim Fortuno, Associated Press, Austin. Federal investigators have secured a third guilty plea in connection with the investigation into U.S. Representative Henry Cuellar of Texas on charges that he accepted nearly $600,000 in bribe from an Azerbaijan-controlled energy company and a bank in Mexico. Arada Akhundova, 67, pleaded guilty May 1st in Houston federal court to acting as an agent for Azerbaijan without registering with federal officials. Details of her guilty plea were unsealed on May 9th. Federal authorities have charged Cuellar, 68, and his wife, Imelda Cuellar, 67, of accepting money from the 2014 to 2021 in exchange for the congressman advancing the interest of former Soviet Republic and the Mexican bank in the U.S. He says they are innocent. One of Cuellar's top former aides, Colin Strother, a Texas political and business consultant, Florencia Roden, struck plea deals in March on felony money laundering charges related to the Mexican bank. Court records noted Akhundova's plea agreement comes from the same investigation and, like the other two, includes that she fully cooperated with the United States. The alleged bribes from Azerbaijani interests totaled more than $300,000. As long as Atkundova tells the truth, then we have nothing to worry about, Cuellar attorney Chris Flood said Monday. Congressman Cuellar never agreed to act as a foreign agent, and has always voted his conscience and for the best interests of his constituents, consistent with many of his colleagues. Akundova's plea agreement described her as an active member of the Texas Azerbaijani American community. It said she worked from 2014 to 2017 as a director of a Texas affiliate of an Azerbaijan energy company, where she transmitted false consulting invoices and helped facilitate payments she thought were in the interests of the oil company and the Azerbaijan government. The agreement also said she knowingly helped set up other Texas affiliate companies that would act on behalf of the Azerbaijan government and a state-owned oil company without registering as an agent of a foreign principal. Akundova faces up to 5 years in prison. An attorney for Akundova has not responded to a message requesting comment Monday. According to the indictments against the Cuellars, the Azerbaijan energy company initially made the payments through a Texas-based shell company owned by Imelda Cuellar and two of the couple's children. That company received payments of $25,000 per month under a sham contract, purportedly in exchange for unspecified strategic consulting and advising services. Azerbaijan officials wanted to build support for the country in its conflicts with Armenia over disputed territory, the immigration status of Azerbaijani citizens, and promotion of the country as a strategic U.S. ally, according to the indictment. Among other things, Cuellar agreed to influence legislation favorable to Azerbaijan and delivered a pro-Azerbaijan speech on the floor of the U.S. House, the indictment states. Cuellar was at one time the co-chair of the Congressional Azerbaijan Caucus, and the indictment against him says an Azerbaijani diplomat referred to him in text messages as El Jefe, or the boss. In addition to bribery and conspiracy, the Cuellars face charges including wire fraud conspiracy, acting as agents of foreign principals, and money laundering. If convicted, they could face decades in prison and forfeiture of any property linked to proceeds from the alleged scheme. Urban Air Adventure Park breaks ground by B. K. Richter, staff writer. The Urban Air Adventure Park will soon be a feature attraction for the Permian Basin area as an Odessa expansion officially begins inside the former Regal Permian Palace located inside the Music City Mall. The groundbreaking ceremony for the Adventure Park kicked off Monday as members of the Odessa community welcomed the owners to the city. One of the owners, Gina Marie Soto, was on hand to give details of the project. We're going to be a proud sponsor of supporting kids in our area and will be able to bring all the fun with go-karts, bumper cars, and more, she said during the press conference. The go-kart feature will be a 20-kart K1 track with an electric power base. Each go-kart comes with a lithium battery, Soto said during an interview with the Reporter Telegram. Soto said the $7 million project is huge, and for the first time, there will be an urban air and little gym in the same place within the Permian Basin area. I think being locally raised here, you can make anything of yourself here. You can try hard and you can work hard. It's just a simple small business opportunity city, Soto said. The mayor and all of the city officials have supported us from the very beginning when we talked about this 2 years ago. This town is open for business, period. Soto said that part of the inspiration for the project came from her 8-year-old son. We just wanted to say thank you for all the support, she said. Come August 1st, you're going to see all of the attractions go in. Thus far, a planned 1,900 dump trucks are planned to fill approximately 11 movie theaters. And then we are also going to move out 22,000 seats, Soto said. We are just really, really honored that this is going to be a community effort. The general contractor, Duke Popovich, said it took 2 entire days for a team to unbolt all the seats inside the former movie theater. The next thing to do is just to take out all the seats and then fill in with earth. It's going to take 155,000 cubic feet of earth to fill in the 11 theaters. And so once the pits are filled, then we begin the concrete work. It's going to have 6 inches of concrete filling, Popovich said. After the space is filled, Popovich said the attractions will come in and the ceiling will be painted. We're keeping two small sections, one over the existing restrooms and another one here around the corner. And it's going to be like a parent's landing, someplace that's a little bit quieter for their parents to hang out, where they can view their children throughout the park, he said. The Urban Air Odessa and Little Gym Odessa will be slated to open in December 2024. Thomas Bost, 61, of Midland, passed away suddenly on Wednesday, May 8, 2024. The family will receive friends from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, May 16, 2024, at the branch at NPW. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, May 17, 2024, at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Chapel. Burial will follow at Rest Haven North Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com. Robert Brooks Stewart was born March 11, 1948. In lieu of flowers, contributions can be made to the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, the Parkinson's Foundation South Central Chapter, Hospice of Midland, or a charity of your choice. A viewing will be held on Tuesday, May 14, 2024, beginning at 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home at 4100 North FM 1788 in Midland. Funeral services will be held on Wednesday, May 15, 2024, at 2 p.m. at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity at 1412 West Illinois Avenue in Midland. Interment immediately following in Rest Haven Memorial Park at 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. Jeannie Laramie of Midland, Texas, left this world on May 10, 2024. Cremation arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, May 14th. County set to discuss new courthouse possibilities. County commissioners will meet at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the county annex and will take the first step toward a new Ector County courthouse. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett said Monday, the commissioner's court has a vision for a bright future for Ector County, and that includes a positive investment to build a courthouse to take Ector County through the next 7 decades. I believe we can make the case and take it to voters in November 2025, Fawcett said. On Tuesday, commissioners are slated to discuss a new courthouse design, build services, and a request for qualifications and specifications and master services agreement for the building of a new Ector County courthouse. Fawcett said the goal is to find a design team to work with who will attend public meetings with the commissioner's court to answer questions from the public about the project. We have learned from our past mistakes. We want no excuses, and everyone on this team will help us with town halls and be able to answer all the questions, Fawcett said. We stand a tremendous chance of getting this bond passed by talking about the benefits and ways to become more efficient and more public service oriented, while also saving taxpayers time, whether that be at the vehicle registration or passport or whatever. Fawcett said commissioners will also discuss an elevator upgrade for the current courthouse, as sometimes all three elevators are down at one time. He said a county employee was stuck about an hour and a half about a week ago in one of the courthouse elevators. The upgrade could cost up to $1 million. He said there are hopes the county could survive without the costly outlay for the old elevators, but said it is a safety issue and the elevators must be repaired. Fawcett said there have been conversations with city officials about the possibility to partner on a complete municipal plaza rather than a county courthouse. It would be great for the public for us to explore that. He hopes to make the case to voters for a bond to finance the courthouse. The county agenda includes We'll hear public comment on non-agenda related items. We'll discuss the fiscal year 2024-25 budget schedule and priorities. We'll discuss Lisa Fondren's position as new Intoxilizer supervisor following Greg Legg's retirement. We'll discuss an order adopting a property tax exemption for qualifying child care facilities. FASA said this follows legislation that passed last session giving a tax break to child care facilities that qualify. He said Ector County has about 30 plus that qualify. We'll discuss Gus Ortega reappointment to the Board of Trustees of Permia Care. We'll discuss the Wheeler Road speed limit. We'll discuss donating bars and other hardware from the old jail to the courthouse to Odessa College. FASA said this donation is part of a jailer pathway program debuting at Odessa College. He said the jailer shortage led to conversations and now OC will have summer classes to help those interested in becoming a jailer with basic county corrections classes. The donated items will be used for a mock setup of a jail. We'll discuss an extension of contract with Renee Bates Auctioneers. We'll discuss a Caliche Roads bid with Permian Paving. We'll consider upgrade of the courthouse elevator. We'll discuss a courthouse field fence project. We'll discuss an inmate housing agreement with Winkler County. We'll discuss a personnel request for an airport manager at Schlemeyer Field. Fawcett said the county previously contracted an airport management firm and that the current firm's contract will be up in November. He said he has huge concerns about creating a whole new county department and added most counties are not typically in the airport business. He did say that county airports are good for economic development. Weekend crashes take two lives in Andrews County. Separate crashes have taken the lives of two men in Andrews County in recent days. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Julio Cesar Torres, 29, of Edinburgh, was traveling east on State Highway 176 in a Cadillac Escalade Friday morning when the Caddy veered off the roadway. Torres took faulty evasive action and overcorrected back onto the roadway, causing the Caddy to side skid into westbound traffic. It was then struck by a GMC Sierra driven by a 67-year-old Andrews man. Torres, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene. The other driver, who was wearing a seatbelt, was taken to University Medical Center in Lubbock in serious condition. The crash remains under investigation. According to DPS, Odessa resident Ezekiel David Roman, 29, was traveling east on State Highway 115 in a Jeep Wrangler when it veered south off the roadway around 1:40 p.m. Sunday. Roman took faulty evasive action and overcorrected back north, causing the Jeep to side skid, got into a narrow barrow ditch, hit a fence, and rolled. DPS stated, Roman, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the vehicle. The crash remains under investigation. Bunch Elementary receives National Education Honor. Balloons weren't the only things flying high in the sky Friday. Students and staff at Bunch Elementary School were elated when they learned the school has been named a Capturing Kids Heart, CKH, National Showcase School. Principal Krista Daniel surprised the school community with an early morning announcement, then followed up with an academic clap-out pep rally, balloon launch, and school-wide picnic. We are extremely excited and honored to be named a showcase school, Daniel said. Bunch is one of only 612 schools in the nation to receive the designation. So this is a big deal. Our students and staff have worked so hard this year, and they deserve this recognition. Daniel said the prestigious award is given in recognition of excellence to schools that demonstrate positive student outcomes and the educators that dedicate themselves to making a difference in the lives of their students. This achievement highlights our dedication to creating a nurturing environment where every student can thrive, she said. Bunch is one of two Midland ISD schools using the CKH curriculum. Its focus is on whole child education, structured to meet the social, emotional, and academic needs of students. It also focuses on educator development to support instruction. At Bunch, we use highly qualified instructional materials and have extensive coaching and professional development so that we are using the best teaching practices in all our grade levels, Daniel explained. We work to build a culture where diversity, passion, and outside-the-box thinking have been empowered and embraced by staff and students. Daniel said examples of innovations at the school included adding new elective courses, including chess and mariachi for all grades. The school also added STEM, book and Lego clubs, plus outdoor learning spaces and open seating areas. Daniel, who came to MISD last year from Canadian ISD, also brought a new focus on literacy to the school, instituting storytelling events, writer workshops, and free books for participating students and their families. Bunch teachers say they have seen growth in themselves as well as their classrooms. Without the support of my team, my grade level assistant principal, my classroom learning coach, and Mrs. Daniel, I would not be where I am today, said teacher Annie Davis. My class and I grew academically and socially in great part to the Capturing Kids' Heart and the supportive systems put into place. Daniel agreed, adding that she's seen big changes inside and outside of the classroom. Our students have a chance to be a part of the process with us. They learn soft skills that are needed in our everyday world. Student office referrals are down. We are seeing some students take the initiative to be leaders in the school, and they take the lead in holding one another accountable to a school-wide vision of excellence. Parents have also played a big role at the school's success. Daniel and the staff instituted several parenting supports, including the Papa Bears Club and parenting classes with a Be a Unique Parent program and the Bunch PTA. One of our first grade classes even took the time to learn the school vision with their students in both English and Spanish. Without our parents and the support of our community, this school wouldn't be where we are today, she added. CKH founder Flip Flippin said, National Showcase schools are chosen annually through a careful selection process, which includes measuring key performance indicators, gathering campus data, and surveying staff and students. Across all criteria, award-winning campuses demonstrate a high level of performance and a positive culture and climate for learning, Flippin said in a press release. Daniel thanked the entire Bunch community. This award, this celebration, is a big deal. Our staff and students deserve it. And I could not be more proud of Bunch Elementary. If you're going to be a bear, be a Bunch bear. Weekend water loss cost Odessa more than $4 million. As the city of Odessa is dealing with a second water main break in the last 3 days, leaving some Odessans without water, the leading economist in Texas has put a dollar amount on the water outage during Mother's Day weekend. Texas economist Ray Perryman said Monday his group used a model of the Odessa economy and prior analysis of various outages around the country to respond to an OA question about the economics of the water outage. It appears that the overall loss was approximately $4.1 million. The direct losses were concentrated in retail outlets and restaurants, although some spilled over to other sectors and households, Perryman said via email. Some Odessans headed to Midland Sunday to treat moms to lunch and to shop with water out in parts of Odessa on Saturday, leading to a boil water notice Sunday, which meant a number of restaurants were forced to close or open with limited menus on Mother's Day. The boil water notice was lifted mid-morning Monday, and then a late afternoon water main break hit on Monday. The city reported a private contractor hit a water line on the north side of the city and detailed the water impact would likely be on Homestead, Parks Bell Ranch area, as well as northeast of Grandview and 61st Street area. Prior to the weekend and Monday water line breaks, Odessa City Councilman Steve Thompson, upset about water line breaks and boil water notices, decided he wanted to pitch an idea to his fellow city council members. Why not use sales tax money that's been sent to the Odessa Development Corporation to address the city's many infrastructure needs? It's on Tuesday's City Council work session agenda for discussion. In an interview that took place just hours before the weekend boil water notice, Thompson said city crews actually discovered 12 broken water valves during a recent water line break. Those valves are used to shut off water on both sides of a break so they can work on repairs and limit the number of people who are inconvenienced. With so many useless valves, waterline breaks, the troubles at the Darrington plant, and so many bad roads, Thompson said he thinks it's time the city floats some revenue bonds to fund infrastructure projects using sales tax revenue collected and given to the Odessa Development Corporation. We don't have all of the money to do that stuff, and when you look at the financials, they've got a huge reserve, Thompson said. What they have committed versus what they have in the banks is negligible, so there's not just any reason not to leverage that, in my opinion. The ODC predicted it would receive $12 million in sales tax revenue this year, but the city has already brought in $7 million in the first 3 months, Thompson said. They also get $1.5 million annually in interest earnings. Materials provided to the council show ODC's ending balance in February was $8 million. Thompson has argued for years the money collected by ODC can be used for such projects because roads, water lines, and sewer lines are directly tied to bringing businesses into Odessa. Others, including ODC President Chris Crow and Vice President Jeff Russell, however, have disagreed with him. According to materials provided to the council, Jeff Moore, an attorney with Brown and Hoffmeister, told City Attorney Dan Jones in an email that Thompson is correct. I've checked it, double-checked, and rechecked it, City Attorney Jeff Moore, ODC attorney, and everybody's on the same spot. Yes, you can spend it on infrastructure, Thompson said. Those 12 broken water valves also prompted City Manager John Beckmeyer to come up with an idea. On Tuesday, he plans to ask the City Council to approve the creation of a crew whose sole task would be to locate, uncover, and perform maintenance on all of the city's water and sewer line valves. The Darrington Water Reclamation Plant, sewer lines, and term limits are also scheduled to be discussed by the City Council Tuesday. During its work session at 3 p.m., the council is expected to hear recommendations from two different companies about what to do about the badly deteriorating wastewater treatment plant. Johnson Controls and Performance Services are both slated to speak with the council. It'll be the second time council members have heard from Performance Services. Back in December, Business Development Manager Jenna Shadowitz said various components of the plant were at the end of their useful life, and there was a lack of redundancy in some areas of the plant, meaning if something were to go wrong there, the city would have no backup. She also noted maintenance at the water lines hasn't been done for decades. She said, "There is no way this stuff just appeared overnight. It's stuff that's been building for decades at this point," Shadowitz said at another point. The TCEQ has written the city up for violations, but no fines have been imposed, Utilities Director Kevin Niles said at the time. A major sewer line will also be discussed during the work session. According to materials provided to the council by Niles, there is a 24-inch ductile iron pipe in the 3200 block of West 2nd Street that is leaking and at high risk for complete failure. Because this is an extremely urgent need to replace the sewer line, Niles wants to skip the bid process and award a contract to Corallo Engineers to design the project and remove and replace 1,000 or more linear feet of the line. The estimated cost is $375,000 and will take about 7 months. Midland Memorial recognized as one of the best places to work in healthcare. Midland Memorial Hospital has been selected by Modern Healthcare as one of the 2024 best places to work in healthcare. The complete list of this year's winners in alphabetical order is available at modernhealthcare.com/best-places-list. Modern Healthcare will publish a special supplement featuring a ranked list of all the winners, along with the October 14th issue of MH Magazine. With all the economic uncertainty, staffing challenges, and folks wanting more flexible work setups, every company has to get clever about how they attract and hold onto talent, Dan Perez, president of Modern Healthcare, said in a newsletter. The winners of the 2024 Best Places to Work Awards really get it. They show us how vital it is to understand what employees want and need right now. With healthcare shifting so much, finding the right people is a top priority, and the winners know that keeping their team happy is the key to business success. Stephen Bowerman, President, Chief Executive Officer of Midland Health, commended the ongoing commitment of our employees to enrich our organizational culture and prioritize delivering exceptional care to our community. I am immensely proud of our team for earning this recognition for the second consecutive year. This award program identifies and recognizes outstanding employers in the healthcare industry nationwide. Modern Healthcare partners with Workforce Research Group on the assessment process, which includes an extensive employee survey. MMH will find out their ranking for the best place list and be celebrated at the 2024 Best Places to Work in Healthcare Awards Gala, taking place October 10th in Nashville, Tennessee. Information about the gala is available at modernhealthcare.com/best-places-gala. Urban Air and the Little Gym holds groundbreaking ceremony. Soon the old Regal Cinemas movie theater at Music City Mall will be replaced with a new attraction. Urban Air and the Little Gym will replace the former entertainment place by the end of the year. A groundbreaking ceremony took place at the movie theater on Monday. We are groundbreaking for the Urban Air Odessa and Little Gym Odessa, owner Gina Marie Soto said about the ceremony. We are so excited to bring this to our community. We're going to be proud sponsors of supporting kids and our area and bring all the fun with go-karts, bumper cars, and the Skyrider at Urban Air Odessa. Also, the Little Gym will be the first time ever where Urban Air and the Little Gym will be in the same place in all of the United States. It's huge. We're doing everything here in Odessa. Soto is also the owner of Urban Air in Midland. Its Midland location opened back in January 2023. Urban Air is an indoor adventure park with bumper cars, go-karts, trampolines, and climbing walls. The project is expected to cost around $8 million. I think being locally raised here, you can make anything of yourself here, Soto said. You can try hard and work hard. It's a small business opportunity city. The mayor and all the city officials have supported us from the beginning when we started talking about this 2 years ago. This town is open for business and we love it. We have an 8-year-old kid and we thought we brought it to the children in Midland. Why not bring it to Odessa? we have the chance, and this is the best space for us, to put this here. Currently, the movie theater is in the process of being cleared out, with walls being torn down to make way for the new attraction. SOTA said they hope to have everything cleared out of the theater complex by August. The goal is to have the place open by December of this year. We want to say thank you to everyone for the support and everything, SOTA said. It is so exciting. By August, you're going to see all the attractions go in. We have a bunch of dump trucks already here that are going to fill these holes in the movie theater. We're removing a lot of seats. It's amazing. Hopefully, we'll be open in December. PHS students celebrate post-grad choices. High schools throughout Ector County ISD on Monday celebrated their graduates with Signing Day. The event began 3 years ago with the Football National Signing Day as an example. Each senior got a chance to celebrate their college, military, or workforce decisions. More than 1,000 seniors took part Monday. In a pep rally atmosphere, seniors at the Permian High School Fieldhouse got on stage with a sign, introduced themselves, and said where they were going after graduation. There were black, white, and silver balloons lining their way to the stage along with cheerleaders, a drum line, and tables manned by representatives from colleges, mascots, and the military. Permian Principal Delisa Stiles said there were 825 seniors this year, one of the larger classes they have had in a while. About 600 students RSVP'd to signing day, and a breakfast from Chick-fil-A was provided. Sophomores and juniors were invited along with parents. Freshmen had the celebration live streamed into their classroom. It's truly a school-wide event, Stiles said. After today, the signs will be placed on the front lawn of the schools so passersby can see where the students are going. Connor DeArmond was the MC. The 17-year-old is going to Christ for the Nations in Dallas for its music program. They have a really great worship team, DeArmond said. His father, mother, and grandfather were in the ministry. DeArmond said his experience at PHS has been good. All freshmen are going to think it's rough at the beginning of it, really scary and stuff, but I definitely made some friends along the way, and it's just been a great experience here at Permian, he said. DeArmond said he is looking forward to graduation. But it's also very sad, a bittersweet moment walking that stage because having all my memories here in high school and not necessarily leaving those behind, but make room for new ones, he added. Ella Verato is going to Odessa College to study business. She wants to start her own golf clothing line. She said she thought Monday's celebration was well planned, a good way to celebrate her peers. It's definitely a little bit scary and nerve-wracking, Verado said, of graduation. I've gone to the same school for 4 years and a whole new environment, but I'm excited and I'm ready to start the new chapter of my life.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.